I was so excited. We had a lot of great things happening last week. We had birthday celebration, and we had proclamations from the town presented to us, and we had cupcakes, and we had all the things, right? But the most important thing, I think, is that I want to start where we left off. There was a reason I brought my phone up. Can I have it back? I brought my phone up in my hand. Please. And then I was like, why did I bring my phone up? My phone is never up front. Why did I do that? And it's because I want to read you guys a passage out of the Message, which is not the Bible that I have up here. We left off last week reading a passage from Isaiah 44, and I want to read it to you from the Message. And before I do that, I want to remind you that as believers, we are all the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We are all sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as believers in Jesus. And it says, but for now, dear servant Jacob, listen. Yes, you Israel, my personal choice. God who made you has something to say to you. The God who formed you in the womb wants to help you. Don't be afraid, dear servant, the one I chose, for I will pour water on the thirsty ground and send streams coursing through the parched earth. I will pour my spirit into your descendants and my blessing on your children. That's they shall sprout like grass on the prairie, like willows alongside the creeks. This one will say, I am God's. And another will go by the name of Jacob, and that will write on his hand, God's property, and be proud to be called Israel. Pastor Rick left us with a powerful word last week, which is that God chose you. God chose you. God loves you. God created you and designed you. God believes in you, and Jesus died for you. Amen. And if there had been no one else, Jesus would have died for me. And if there had been no one else, Jesus would have died for you because he chose you. And that's our starting point today. It's our starting point. Because when we accept and when we say yes to that free gift of eternal life, of forgiveness of our sins, then we get this new identity in Jesus. And it shapes and transforms everything for us. And so, yeah, we're going to start unpacking our vision. What's the next 5 years look like? God has given us this God-sized vision statement for our five-year goal. But none of it's possible. And quite frankly, like Chris said before prayer last week, none of it matters if God isn't real and if I haven't said yes to Jesus. So are we good there, church?
We're good.
If you have wrestled with that, if you were online, if you just need to take a minute and say yes to Jesus, we want to pause and do that. If there's been something resistant in your heart to surrendering, God, we just come before you now. You who chose us, you who says, don't be afraid, I will make flowing streams in the desert places. Jesus, you who poured out your blood that we could walk in freedom without guilt and without shame. God, whether we're saying yes to you for the first time, Jesus as our Savior, or for the thousandth time, thanking you for your sacrifice. We say yes. And we say thank you for choosing us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We got to start there, right? We got to start there. Because let's read this together. Because this is a big deal, y'all. Let's read this one together. A growing community of everyday people partnering with God to ensure each person we encounter believes they are seen, known, and loved by God and by us. You're like, well, that doesn't sound much different from our seen, known, and loved. Do you guys see that this says each person? It says partnering with God. It says a growing community. All those things are really big deal. And it says each person doesn't just hear it. Each person believes it. The reality is there are going to be atheists that we encounter that are not ever going to say yes to Jesus. But here's the thing. We got to be so on fire for God. We got to be so invested in what God has for us that they, at a very minimum, believe we believe God sees them and knows them and loves them, and they believe they are seen and known and loved by us. Amen, church? They got to know at their core that this is not fluff or frosting for us, that this is the real deal. It is what we hinge everything on because God chose us and God chooses them. And that's our starting place. And none of that is possible without realizing that we belong. You're like, what do you mean? We belong. The passage I read to you from the Message puts us in a family. We can't do that individually. None of us gets through life on our own. And if we're going to do what God has called us to do, not just as a church, but in our own lives, then we can't get there on our own. We have to belong. We have to belong to God's church. We have to belong to the family that he talked about in that passage that I read. The problem is, if we're honest, most of us are afraid to try to belong somewhere. Maybe I won't ask you to raise your hands on that one. Maybe I'll just ask you, thank you. Maybe I'll just ask you to think about the last time you walked into a crowded room where you didn't know anybody, where you were the new employee or the new person to the class or the new person to the club or the new person who walked into church for the first day. And everything inside you wants to belong, but you're probably not even going to admit that to yourself because it's scary. Because we all face fears and inadequacies. And then on top of that, we have the lies of the enemy who say, but you don't belong there. They're just a bunch of crazy people. What you doing with them? So I want to ask you a question. We'll step out of church for a minute. We'll step away from Bridge for a minute. Let me ask you, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about the time where you felt like you most belonged. Was it a group? Was it a band? Was it a team that you were on? Was it a training team that you belonged to? Was it a ministry? Was it a deployment or a unit that you were in? How did it feel to have that total sense of belonging? If your eyes are still closed, you can open them. How did it feel to have that sense of belonging? You know, one of the hardest things for military people when they're stationed overseas is to come back stateside, because when you're overseas, you are tight because you're in a foreign place and you count on each other and you connect with each other. And the reality is, in the United States today, with the record rates that people are leaving churches, people don't think about the church that way. Because the concept of the church is that the church is a judgmental place. Or past church hurts. Deep wounds keep us from trusting again, from building new relationships. And then again, we have the enemy, Satan, who is called, named, the father of all lies, yipping in our ear about why we shouldn't be in church or why we don't belong. And guys, if we are gonna do this, we have to start with God chose us, we belong to him, and then we belong here in community. So I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can use your devices. We'll have it up on the screen. I'll give our family online a chance to get there. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start in verses 12 to 14. And I want to invite you to read with me. And as we read, I want to actually ask you to try to take the words in as you read them. Because we've been talking about belonging, and I want you to think of all the fears that you have about being part of something new. I want you to read with me. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Just as a body, though one, has many parts. I read this passage, and does anybody remember from the early 2000s, the Army had this recruiting slogan? It was the Army of One. Does anybody remember that? It was the goofiest slogan, like nobody got it. They tried hard for about 5 years to make this slogan work. They finally gave up. Everybody misunderstood the Army of One to think it's all about me. The Army just needed this passage, right? Like they needed this passage because what they were trying to say is one is not about the individual, but about the corporate whole. And when you're a part of the one, you are a part of the whole. Unfortunately, nobody got that. But I'm telling you today that God sees you individually and chooses you individually, but then he invites you and brings you in to the whole, to the corporate body, because you belong. The passage says that God assigns us to one body. Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. Can you imagine the tension in that? We gloss over those words. Jews and Gentiles, what's the big deal? These groups hated each other. They couldn't eat dinner at each other's houses. A Jewish person couldn't eat in a Gentile's house because the kitchen wasn't clean, things weren't kosher, things weren't done. They were unclean themselves, like they couldn't hang out together. They couldn't touch each other without this whole cleansing ritual for the Jews. All these things went on, and even as Christ freed them from that, centuries of tension and distrust and dislike existed. Oh, and then we get to slave or free. Now, I don't want us to think of the abhorrent slavery that existed here, where people were stolen from their country, taken and enslaved completely against their will, but I'm also not going to candy coat first century slavery. It was indentured servitude. People who had not were forced to sell their services into years of slavery to serve without the same rights and privileges until they could earn their way out, because they had no other options. You think that was a comfortable dinner party? The owner and the slave sitting in the room, separate from the house, having dinner together, breaking out scripture, serving together. These groups couldn't be further apart on the social spectrum. I mean, we think it's hard to put Democrats and Republicans in the same room. We do it pretty well around here at this church, but we think that's hard. They do not do it well on Capitol Hill. I just want to say, I think they should come take a lesson from Bridge Church. Okay, let's not tell them that. I don't need all that mess in here, so never mind. I started to say they should have a field trip. We're canceling that. Does anybody remember the Disney movie, The Fox and the Hound? The little fox and the little hound, and without all their inhibitions, they got along great until the world told them differently. Life in Christ is kind of like the opposite. It's like the reverse. Like nobody gets along, and then you have Jesus, and God takes away all the things and all the layers and all the hatreds and all the discriminators and makes you one. And as a church, it isn't about Bridge, and it isn't about Pastor Rick and Pastor Jen. We aren't united by our love for this community, even. We aren't united by the name of our church. It's really cool. I think it's really cool. It's an acronym. Most of you are still learning. Wait, let's try. Building relationships, intentional discipleship, generous engagement. You guys are getting better with Bridge every week. Yay! That isn't what unites us. It says that we were baptized by one Spirit, and that we were all given one Spirit to drink. We are united as one by something that is so far beyond humanity. Thank goodness. We are united by the Holy Spirit. You see, when we accept Jesus, we're grafted into the family, and then the Holy Spirit swoops in and changes our DNA so that every little fox and hound can get along forever. How about that? Y'all did not think that was funny. Fine. Fine. We will not get along every time, by the way, but we will still be united as one. Our diversity will help. Well, okay, I'm getting ahead. That's a different sermon, different day. But it helps us and makes us stronger, right? And here's what I want us to understand. And it is countercultural to the church in America today. Church is not something we do. As believers, church is our new family of origin. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute, because it says that we were baptized by one Spirit, that we all drink the same Spirit, and that we are now part of one body. We have a new DNA as believers, and it is to be the body of the church in whatever church he has called us to. And so we have to get past this cultural mindset that says church is something we go do, because the Holy Spirit has literally transformed our DNA for church to be part of who we are. And it ends this little part of the passage with, the body is not one part, but many. And what I want you to hear in that is that your individual part is essential to the whole body. When you are not here, you miss something from everybody else. And when you are not here, everybody else misses something from you. And I am grateful for technology. And so, family online, I am not like busting on you in any way. You are active and participating. I know we have the Stokes family. I know we have the Nairn family. I know we have families that are sick and at home and battling things and without transportation. And that's the way they connect. And that is awesome. But I want us all to understand that we will never achieve this mission if Bridge Church is just a block on our calendar. It has to be a major part of who we are. And that goes against the individualism of our nation, and it goes against all our church hurts from the past, and it goes against the enemy's voice to continually tell us we don't belong. But if we take God at his word, church is not an activity. It is a kingdom community. And I'm here to tell you, you belong. You belong. We belong. And we keep it real here, because that sounds great. Sounds great. We're part of a kingdom community. Doesn't that sound like a great... I mean, it sounds better than Army of One, right? Like, go kingdom community. But it's hard, and the enemy tells us all kinds of lies to keep us alone and isolated. He tells us all kinds of lies to push us into communities that are centered on anything but Jesus. And so if we're going to talk about what it really means to belong, then we have to be honest about the barriers there are to community. You know what's awesome? God is really honest about the barriers that there are to community. Like, I don't have to dig this stuff up, look it up online, Google it, see what's trending. God right here talks about the things that we face every day when it talks about belonging. Barrier number one, whether you're walking into church or the gym or a new job, is the feeling that I don't belong. I don't belong here. If you are one of the 0.5% of the population that walks into a room full of strangers and feels like you belong, I think you're pretending. Just saying. No, maybe not, but, well, anyway, we'll leave that alone. So I want you to read with me 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 20 as we face this barrier. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We come back to that statement. There are many parts, but one body. But our feeling is, because I'm not a blank, I don't belong. Because I'm not an eye, I'm not sure that I can go in and see things that you people see. Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a doer, I can't flip the slides, I can't help out on the events, I can't go do the things that you're all doing. Because I'm an eye, not an eye, I can't be an artist and a visionary, and that's no good. We walk in and we think, because I can't do that, I can't be a part of what's already happening. After all, if I'm not an eye, how do I see people through God's eyes? If we're honest, some of us just aren't good at seeing people through God's eyes. It takes a whole lot of prayer and usually a friend to go, nudge, nudge, you're being judgy. Maybe that's just me. Okay, we'll move on. So that's being kind of literal, but let's expand it. I'm not a worshiper, so I don't belong. I'm not a prayer warrior, so I don't belong. I'm not military, and y'all are a military community, so I don't belong. I'm not a tech geek. I'm not an extrovert. I don't love the kids like Pastor Mary loves the kids, so Bridge Church must not be for me. Close your ears. This might hurt. I forgot you were going to be in here this morning. I don't love when we start with the kids' worship song, so I must not belong at Bridge Church. There's four adult worship songs. It'll be all right. All right? Because God goes on to say, if the whole body were visionaries and artists, then where would the processes be to get anything done? If the whole body were an ear, then we'd have all the sound text, but nobody to sing. If we only had prayer warriors, then who would cook the meals and deliver them to the families in need who asked for prayer because someone is sick or someone had surgery or there was a crisis in their life? If we only had worshipers, who would lead bridge builders groups? Do you have any idea how many moving parts go into all this every week? And remember that 5-year God-sized vision of having everybody we encounter? By the way, don't miss the growing together and partnering with God. That's all about what happens inside the house. Believe they're seen, known, and loved by God. If we all did one thing, then we would be a disaster. It would be a train wreck. And oh, by the way, that's not Pastor Jen saying that. It says, but in fact, God has placed the parts, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You have a draw, you have a nudge to get involved, you're afraid to plug into community. It's scary, I know. I know. You feel like you don't belong and you don't see somebody doing what you want to do. You know what? That's because there's a hole that you're supposed to fill, so somebody is doing that thing. And God, who has the master plan, brought you here to do just that because he made a space for you and gave you an assignment so that we could stop being a lopsided, half amputated body. And we could actually walk in the fullness of what Christ has for us to do with each other and with this community. And just because you don't think you belong does not negate the fact that according to God's word, he planned a place for you to be, which means just because you think you don't belong doesn't mean there's not a gaping hole waiting waiting for you to trust, waiting for you to let go of some hurts and fears, waiting for you to recognize your own identity in Christ that says, I belong no matter what, and to trust where he's calling you into. I want to say this in all the love in my heart because it was my story. Some of us spend years in a relationship with Jesus, ignoring or denying our pull towards the church. And God wants to heal that in you, and God wants to heal the church with you and through you. There was a point in my life where I had to stop pointing back at the hurt back there and stop pointing at the hurt that was over there and start standing in where God had called me right here and ordained for me to be. And if that's you, I know it's scary. And I just want to tell you that God is trustworthy. Trust where he's calling you to. And I want to tell you, for as much as it depends on us, this is a safe place. It's not a perfect place. No place is perfect. No pastor is perfect. No ministry leader is perfect. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. But we work very hard to be a safe place to be. Are we okay, church? The barrier is I don't belong because. But God's truth is that God has placed you on purpose with a purpose. God has placed you on purpose with a purpose. All right. So we give up the I don't belong and we step in. Okay? That's a little scary, but we're taking that step. We're trying. I think the next barrier that we face, if we're really honest, is we let go of the hangups, we step into community, and then we're like, oh, I belong. Okay, I belong now. Oh, I don't think they belong. I'm not sure they should be here. No, nobody's ever. Tech booth, you've never had anybody encounter. Okay, we'll leave the tech guys alone. Well, how about I'll just read. I'll even read this one to you, because God talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21 to 25. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable. Notice that God deals with our attitude straight ahead. The parts we think are less honorable, hear it with all the attitude, because I think that's how I wrote it. The parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so they feel better about themselves, so that there should be no division in the body, but all the parts should have equal concern for each other. Church, there should never be a time when we look at someone and think, they shouldn't be here. By the way, we are 3 years old, and I have never seen one single person at Bridge Church react or respond that way. And my EQ is pretty high, so you don't have to say it for me to see your eyes say it. Like, Mary's laughing because she knows I'll call you out in a heartbeat, right? I've never seen it, but we gotta follow the word, and we gotta stick with this. Because if we don't address it, we've all been the person somewhere along the way that has been in a group where someone has been, ooh, they don't belong here. And we've been on the receiving end. And we got to be honest about it and make sure it never happens here. There should never be a time we think, well, they're weaker. We don't need them. We only need strong leaders. We only need strong people. We only need people who got it together. I love that this passage in no way denies that there are weaker, less honorable, and unpresentable human beings. Parts of the body. I had it later in my notes, but I'm just going to stop and say, I thank God because I was a weaker, unpresentable part of the body for the first, I don't know, 10 years that I would bring myself up into church, less honorable, unpresentable, all of it. But someone, I guess, had read this passage and decided that they better take a chance on me and actually invest in me, and I've gotten way ahead of myself. So let me jump back in because now my notes are going to be all jumbled up. But somebody needs to hear that. And they didn't need to wait 2 minutes. This scripture says that they are equally important and that the body makes extra allowances and pays special attention for those who are weaker. And so this is a practical tip because I'm like a practical girl, right? The next time you find yourself thinking, because most of us won't actually say they don't belong here, like that's not the hearts of this community. But we find, if we're really honest, we find ourselves thinking, I wish they would just fill in the blank. The next time you find yourself thinking that, flip it and ask, how can I come alongside them to honor them? What can I do to help them take the next step? How can I shelter and protect them, which is what it means to come around someone? How do you walk beside someone who doesn't know how to present themselves in a particular situation instead of pretending they aren't there if you're being really callous, or on the nicer side of it, we think, pretending like it's all okay? You know what? If someone doesn't know how to act in a situation, be their friend. Come alongside them and help them learn, because at their next job interview, they'll appreciate it. If someone doesn't know what to do at small group, don't sit back and let them not know what to do. Remember what it was like to walk into a bridge builders group for the first time. When you walk into someone's house even, because most of them are at houses and that's kind of scary, and you walk into couples group and you're like, oh, Jen and Rick have dogs. They're in the back. You'll hear them barking, but, you know, they keep them put away, blah, blah, blah. And we have snacks, and come on in and have a seat, and they just make yourself at home. This is not one of those houses. Like, this is a grab your cup out of the cupboard kind of house on your own. Like, have fun, right? Make people feel at home. Walk in love beside people who are struggling and treat them with extra modesty. Don't treat them with, what's your problem? And here's the kicker. Don't do it because you're something special. Because God says, do it because you need them. God says he chose them and they play a vital role in the body, and the body is lacking without them. So if you don't come alongside them in their weakness, if I don't come alongside them in their weakness, then guess what? The body's lacking, and I don't go help them because I'm so special. I go help them because without them, I am less than God intended for me to be. Something about the weaker, less honorable, and unpresentable parts is absolutely necessary because God uses the word indispensable. They are indispensable for the growth and maturity of the presentable parts. And as someone who was one of those weaker, undesirable, unpresentable people, I'm very happy that y'all made room for me. That's all I have to say.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Are we all right?
Yes.
That was heavy. I'm going to say again, y'all do this really well. But for all of us to belong and to remember what we're doing, especially inside this room, because we do it great out there. And then we come in here and it's scary because the seats are set up a little different than normal church seats. And we got to get way out of our comfort zone to talk to people and meet people. But I want to thank God for his plan and for the people who embrace and invest in others, because God doesn't call us to shun people. He calls us to include them. And God has made it, makes it in this, charges us to make it right so that, not so that we're an awesome church, so that there is no division, but instead there is unity and there is equal concern. What I heard was God was the OG equalizer. Just saying. This week in the reading plan, there was actually a great nugget, and it was in Chronicles. And I love when I can say there was this great, intense moment in Chronicles, and y'all are like, huh? What? I think I must have fell asleep for that one. In 1 Chronicles 24, verse 31, it was talking about the families, and, you know, there was a great hierarchy in that culture in that time.
That was right? A good one right there.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
I know, you know what I'm talking about. Verse 31, it says, the families of the oldest brother were treated the same as those of the youngest. Where there was a cultural hierarchy and cultural demanded that the oldest brother got double the portion, got double everything, where the younger you were, the less important you were. God said, no, I am bringing all the families together and the oldest brother's families are treated the same as the younger brother's families. There is equal, there is equality, and there is not division. Can I get an amen? There is no cliques, no favorites, there is no elite. And so while the enemy would tell you they don't belong, the truth is that God established unity and equality in kingdom community. And everybody better hold on to that and remember it when the elections start happening. I'm just saying. So where does that take us? We belong, got us in the door. They belong, gets us to a little bit of unity. We're serving, we're not bickering, we're recognizing everybody's value, we're recognizing everybody's significance, and then we're serving, and we're serving, and we start to get a little tired from serving, and things happen in our lives, and maybe somebody didn't hear us say it, or maybe the pastor's paying attention to the new family who just walked in, or the greeting team's doing their job, which means they're not talking to all their friends that they've had for 6 months or a year or 3 years, but they're actually talking to the newer people because that's their job, and I start to feel a little left out, and I start to feel a little unseen, and I start to feel a little bit like I don't matter. Has anybody ever been there? Where you start to feel like, man, I just don't matter. Would they notice if I didn't show up to cardio combat for 3 weeks? Actually, they would. They would hunt me down. I can guarantee you. And I know y'all know we hunt you down, so it's fine. But we start to feel like we don't matter. And I'm going to back up to the middle, I want to back up and reread from the middle of verse 24 because I want us to catch the whole thought in context. I'm going to come back down here and ask you guys to read with me these next couple verses. But God has put the body together, giving it great honor to the parts that lacked it, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Let's keep going. Yes, please. And the parts that are unpresentable are... Let me go back. I'll read to you guys. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's start in verse 24. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And this is where it gets messy. Because this is where we go from Sunday service and bridge builders to real life, where people are suffering together and they're celebrating together. You know that every celebration has some messy to it, no matter how great the celebration is, right? There's always a hiccup. But you're suffering together and you're celebrating together. You're rejoicing together. You have concern for each other. And this is what we talked about last week. We did this really well at 35 or 40, but we're missing some body parts to do this well at 80 and 85, which is what our congregation's actually made up of now. And so we introduced 4 leaders who have stepped up to be part of a care ministry. Amen. That is awesome. And in the next 90 days, Those four leaders, we're going to be working with them and really begin to flush out what a care ministry looks like so that we can do this well, because we are called to take care of this community, but we are also called to take care of this body. And it requires everybody being on board with it. And so as one of the team representing the lead team, I want to say, if you have felt unseen or felt like your problems were unheard, or if you felt for a moment like you didn't matter, we are sorry. You matter. We try to live that in everything we do, but again, at 35 or 40, yes, at 80, there are challenges. God's brought the body parts to answer them, but we want to say we see you and you matter. You're having a surgery or prayer request. Don't think it's not important to share that. We've got prayer cards. They're up here always. These prayer request cards, when you walk in and on this table, they're always here. Fill them out. Drop them in the generosity box. Pretty soon, in a couple weeks, there'll actually be a prayer box for you to drop them in. You can always send a prayer request to info@bridgeih.church. That prayer request now is beginning to go to care team members who we see what we can do to support you beyond prayer, whether that's hospital visits or meals or just phone calls or checking in. Those things matter because you matter. You are seen and known and loved by God, and you are seen and known and loved by us. And while the enemy would tell you, you don't matter, the kingdom truth, as I read this passage, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The kingdom truth is that we each matter. I know it should say all, but each. Context. We each matter. And this whole passage closes with verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you. Each one of you. Online, each one of you is a part of it. And you choose whether you walk in that or not. But if we go back to where the master planner made a plan, put you in a place, called you to a place, gave you a task to do, if you don't show up, we're going to continue walking around like an amputee with something missing. And I want to say this. When is the last time one thing in your body was sprained or out of whack? And how did it mess up your whole everything? Your whole everything. One part's messed up. Everything is messed up. And everything is lacking, and everything is working extra hard. But I want you to hear me, because this could sound like a come make Bridge Church better. One. The body feeds you and you feed the body. Stepping into where God would have you be and walking in the fulfillment of your calling lets you walk in your identity in Christ, because you are God's masterpiece. He created you in Christ Jesus to do the good works he planned for you before the beginning of time. Now, it is cool that we get to hang out and do them together in this body. I love that, because I love y'all.
Love you.
Thanks. But it's not just about one or the whole. It's about how they work together to live in the fulfillment of what God has. Now, on the back of your cards, you have these different things, and we're going to walk through these, because this big vision takes a lot of steps. I was trying to say last week, I was trying so hard to come up with a phrase. This is not just a pie in the sky or a pipe dream. I was blending those two things together, and I just couldn't make it work. That's what I was trying to say. However, we don't get to this without work. And on the back, you're going to see, right, that there's a three-year plan. We're going to have strong ministry, strong leaders for outreach and partnership and discipleship and care. Some of these are pretty strong right now, but to become full teams, like in 3 years, we want those to be thriving pillars of what we are doing. Obviously, every one of them undergirded in prayer and scripture and the Holy Spirit leading all of it. But those are the core foundations to what we're going to do. In the next year, we are going to identify 10 new leaders and have them ready to lead our what's next by the end of August next year, because we have to grow into this. And we know there are things in the 90 days to do. You guys will see those down there. We're doing them. We're actually going to present to you the next 90-day things. I think I said that wrong. But anyway, the next 90-day goals after our next staff day in a couple weeks. But none of it is possible with who we are right now. And none of it is possible with the gaps that exist. And none of it is possible without all of us walking in God's plan for our lives. The scripture says, now you are a part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So the bottom line today is you belong. What's your part? You belong. What is your part? Maybe your part is working with the kids. Maybe your part is joining the prayer team. Maybe your part is just having the courage to step in and join a bridge builders group and actually risking making church go from something you do to part of the community that you are for the first time. Whatever your part is, I want to encourage you to bring your obedient yes. David, would you come pray for us?
Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful message that you've given us through praise and worship and through Pastor Jen this morning. Jesus, we have this saying around here about all of the things. And Jesus, you are the king of all of the things, because all things were made through you and by you and for you. Lord, what a beautiful thing to hear this morning, that you chose us, that we belong to you, and you belong to us, and that everybody has a part. Jesus, you are the creator of diversity, and not in the way we see it with our human hearts, but in a way that's more expansive than we could ever think, ask, or imagine. So, Lord, we thank you for all the parts that you have brought together to be a part of this ministry. And Father, for those who already see their path, we pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and encourage them and keep them on that path. And for those who haven't seen that path yet, Father, we pray that you would open their minds, their hearts, and their ears to receive it, but that we who know would walk along with them as they learn those things. And Father, as we get ready to leave this building and go out into the world, there's a whole lot of people out there that don't feel like they belong. And you've given us a mission to let them know that they do. So, Father, we ask that you prepare our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and that we would go out using those things in the way that you see those things, the way you see other people, and that we would be your hands and your feet, so everyone that we would encounter would know that they are seen, known, and loved by you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.